Yes, greetings to you all. In Jesus' name, this is Daniel King again. I'd like to share some again this morning on the theme of Jesus coming in the flesh. I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not, but it has been of interest to me already to recognize that when the Apostle John, in the latter part, in his later letters to the churches, had made mention that any spirit that does not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is the spirit of the Antichrist. And I think that is interesting the way John seemed to sum that up. There by saying that any spirit that does not believe that Jesus Christ came in a human body, in a spirit that does not believe that Jesus Christ actually came in a human body with DNA and everything, is not of God. And I think the reason that is so important to see that correctly is because it greatly affects how we will view our faith in living after the example of Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus Christ did not believe that came in the flesh, so to speak, it would persuade us that we today could not live after the same manner as Christ. And so if you can just picture with me, for the sake of the illustration, these 12 men, as they were coming to the end of the ministry of Jesus, they had been walking with him for 3 years and had been experiencing much that hardly anyone else had ever experienced throughout history, in that they had walked with this man who there was very strong evidence that he was indeed the Messiah. He was indeed the Son of God that God had promised, and they were believing this a bit apprehensively, that they were believing it, that this really was the Son of God, and they had not yet fully understood what's going to happen. And they had their own ideas of what, you know, how Jesus would be instrumental in delivering Israel from Rome, from the Roman rule. And Jesus, time and time again, would sit them down and talk to them about his coming, about the upcoming event where he would be delivered into the hands of his enemies and be offered up to die. So here in John 13, it is one of those moments, and he's saying, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, shall straightway glorify him. And he goes on to say that, my little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now say I to you. And he's saying that he's going to go somewhere where they are not going to be able to follow. And Peter is insisting that where you go, I will follow. I think what Peter is thinking, that Jesus is not going to go anywhere that he won't follow, because for 3 years he had followed Jesus and he had found confidence in that. And yes, it had been difficult, but Peter had always been able to successfully follow Jesus, and he was determined to continue that no matter where Jesus went. But Jesus made it clear that he's going to go somewhere for a season, somewhere where they would not be able to follow. And with that, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He was saying that he's going to go, and after a while, they will be able to come. But for the time being, they wouldn't be able to follow. And then Thomas said, "Lord, where are you going?" Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" I think what Thomas was a very practical thinker. He was a very practical person, and sometimes being so practical can work against faith, and so it didn't make sense for Thomas. And as we all know, or most of us that are familiar with the Gospels are familiar with the fact that Thomas was one of the ones who said, "I won't believe unless I see it." And Jesus said, "Blessed is he who believes without seeing." And anyway, I think that's a challenge for us today. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." And I think what Jesus was saying, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what he was saying, what he meant by that, is he's basically saying, look at my life. I am the way. And if you want to get to the Father, you simply follow the example that I have laid for you. And then Philip said, show us the Father, and we're going to be satisfied. And then Jesus answered him and said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And so it becomes very clear with these explanations by Jesus, it becomes very clear that the life that Jesus lived while he was on the earth was simply the life that God would have lived had God lived on the earth. It becomes very clear. And then we can see, by studying the life of Jesus, we can see that that is how God is in heaven. And we all of a sudden we can picture how heaven is, even though none of us has ever been there. We can picture it. We can know that that's how it is going to be. And we also know that in one of the statements that Jesus made already, that he has hid nothing from us. Nothing that the Father has shown him has he hid from us. He walked it out by demonstrating it with his life. And it all of a sudden becomes simple to us if we have the courage to recognize and realize that the life that Jesus lived, from the point when he was, especially the point when he was finished with his, or when he began his ministry, the point when he left his carpenter's shop and went out to see John the Baptist, and from that point till he was crucified, from that point is the ideal life that God wants us to live as believers here on the earth. And so many times we get what we have been trained as what a Christian should look like, or, you know, what church life should look like. And we have all these ideas that have been ingrained in us since we were young, and how all of that needs to be tested beside the life of Jesus. I believe that what God wants is for us to look to his son for an example. Look to his son, Jesus Christ. Look at his life for an example of what his heart is for his people to live, and how to order their lives. And it has been such a refreshment to me to be able to trust that that's actually God's will, that if Jesus would come to the earth again today, it would be very similar to how it was 2,000 years ago. And if he could come down personally and show us how to live our Christian life, if you will, how to live, what to do, I believe that God would, or I believe that Jesus' life or his desire for us would be very similar to how he demonstrated it to us. And I believe that all of the power that Jesus had while he walked on the earth is available for us today to walk in that same way, to be about healing people, and to be pointing people to the Father, and to be delivering people from all kinds of things that are hindering people from experiencing full freedom. And in the same way that the disciples then, after Jesus was crucified, in that same way, after they were endued with power, after Pentecost, they went out and you found them copying what Jesus had demonstrated to them. And I believe that's still God's heart for us today. And may he empower us to walk the way that he demonstrated to us.